Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 5th of August, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you with me. And also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Right, we've got low-key Brian today. Let's see what you have to say.
That's Ross. That's Ross Brian.
Ross Brian, okay. Brian Geller Chaffin with us today.
Yes, exactly.
So, Andrew, I'd like to start with you. And you wrote up an article about Apple picking up a company that might have some interesting implications for them.
Yeah, so Apple has acquired MobiWave, Inc. They are a payment startup, and their technology was about letting people tap their credit card or their smartphone on another phone in order to process a payment. And it just worked with an app, and it didn't require any hardware beyond a NFC chip,
okay,
which iPhones have had since 2014. Bloomberg says that the acquisition was about $100 million.
Okay.
And in my article, when I covered it, I thought it kind of sounded like Apple was maybe going after Square, because with this, you maybe wouldn't need a Square terminal anymore. Mm-hmm. But Kelly, you also had an interesting idea.
I do. And that is that they are going after Square Cash, more like the PayPal, Venmo sort of market in person-to-person payments. So I think this is probably something that's going to level up like Apple Pay Cash. So we all go out to dinner. Brian gets the best points, so he puts it on his credit card. And instead of having to open Square Cash or whatever, tap my phone on Brian's phone, and now I've paid for my share of dinner or whatever. That sounds really compelling to me overall. Mm-hmm. So and I wonder if perhaps part of that, or at least part of why that might be interesting to Apple, is because it's another way to shine a spotlight on Apple Pay Cash, which is its own thing with not a lot of attention. Right, Brian? Like, I feel like Apple sort of mentioned it and kind of left it out there, and we haven't heard a lot about it since its debut.
But Apple, yeah. Apple Pay Cash?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Apple has pushed it all that much. And I don't really know why. It works really well.
Yeah. Like, and to me, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
Oh, I was going to say, well, to me, it sounds like they're positioning it as, here's where you get your daily cash when you use an Apple card, and not much more than that, I don't think.
Yeah. But that's why I was wondering if maybe this was a way to level that up, because it seems like they sort of put it out, and aside from the Apple Card stuff, like, there's not a lot of attention paid to it. Like, you don't see it in Apple commercials, like how easy it is to send somebody money with Apple Pay Cash, because you can do it in messages or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just not seeing, I don't know. It seems like there might be an opportunity there, and maybe that's what Apple saw with purchasing MobiWave, is making that happen. Because like you said, those phones go back to 2014. So I'm trying to remember what the NFC chip before goes back goes back to way in the before times. I'm trying to remember, Brian, what phone was that?
iPhone 4? iPhone 6?
So it was 7 years.
Yeah.
So, well, six phones ago. 6S or something.
6 phones ago. So yeah, I was thinking like the 5 or the 5S might have been 2014.
If only there was some sort of like
repository of human knowledge
that we could connect to.
That would be fantastic.
Whenever we wanted. 2014, 6 and 6 plus.
6 and 6
in
plus.
In September.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So five, the most of 2014 was actually the 5S and 5C.
Okay. So,
by definition, right?
Right. So, if we sort of round that up to the 6, then the iPhone 6 is not really a new phone by any stretch of the imagination at this point. So it would be something that Apple, if Apple rolled it out today, that would be a whole lot of their install base, I imagine. If you're using a 6, you know, a 6 or newer, which I think is the same as iOS 14, as a matter of fact.
A huge, huge chunk of, I mean, like almost all of the install base.
Yeah, that's basically everybody, I think, for the most part. So,
well, I'm sure there's some folks that are still out there on you know, a 5S or maybe even a 5C. But the reality, too, is that I would imagine that if you had some sort of Venn diagram of 5S and 5C owners and then iPhone owners who were really interested in engaging in new payment paradigms, that there wouldn't be a whole lot of overlap anyway.
I'm going to call that two circles as a Venn diagram.
Let's call it well, I mean, there are some people who are using a phone like that because they just absolutely have to.
Right.
Right. It's purely economics and it's not because they're, you know, stuck or anything, or maybe they want the smaller size. There are definitely people who want the smaller size.
Absolutely.
But the, my point being that, the vast majority of the addressable market is on a device that can do it.
That would be capable. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think this would be interesting. I think it would have been more interesting in the before times when I could go out to dinner with Brian and we could sit down in a restaurant and eat a meal together and I could owe him for it and bonk my phone on his phone at the end of it and pay. Like right now, that sounds like a made up story from long ago. You know, we all used to sit in the same room together at the same table and eat and then all go back to our individual houses. Like, sounds pretend at this point.
It does.
But I'm holding on to hope that we will get to do it again and that something like this rolling out as like part of iOS 15 is super great. And then we can use it. Although, you know, one thing I do think about, Andrew, when you talked about Square, like Square terminals and point of sale, is that in order to use one of their Stripe readers, you do have to have a mobile device connected. And a lot of times, you know, you see the point of sale system and it's got an iPad hooked up. So this could work that same way. Like, maybe it's something they roll out. I don't think they're going to roll out their own point of sale. That sounds a little overreachy for Apple.
Oh, yeah.
But to offer that technology, if you're using a late model iPhone or iPad as part of your point of sale system, this is just another avenue instead of Apple Pay that you could use instead. That seems like it might be kind of attractive there as well, and just sort of piggyback on what people are already doing. That might be handy. Yeah. So it will be interesting to see where it goes, in my opinion. There's a lot of avenues to pursue with this, so we'll see how it works. If you have opinions about this, if this is something that you would like to do, if the world accommodates going out places and tapping your phone on someone else's phone, let us know. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or leave comments in the show notes. The other bit of news that we've had recently is that Phil Schiller's role is changing over at Apple, and he is... Brent, I'm going to forget. He's no longer the senior VP of whatever it was.
Worldwide sales and marketing.
Sales and marketing. He's going to become an Apple fellow and show up at events, is kind of how I heard that.
Well, he's still going to run events, and he's still going to be in charge of the App Store.
Okay.
Which is really interesting. I mean, you know, Phil is... I've long thought that Phil... Schiller probably, that Steve Jobs probably got some credit that should have been going to Phil Schiller, which is not to detract from Steve Jobs and his marketing genius in any way whatsoever. It's just more like, I think that Phil Schiller was often like in the shadow of Steve Jobs when Steve Jobs was still with us and running the company and doing a lot of things that maybe didn't get noticed all that much in terms of Apple's marketing. So for him to be moving along, and at the very least, there was continuity from Steve and Phil to Tim and Phil. right? There's still a lot of continuity there. So it's kind of a big deal. And it's interesting to me that the markets haven't reacted negatively to Phil Schiller stepping down from the sales and marketing role. And that may be a big part of why he's transitioning to being a quote unquote feller.
He's gonna be one of them, Apple fellers.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder also if, again, he's being undervalued in that people are like, well, the only time we ever saw him was Apple events, and we're still going to see him at Apple events, so it's fine.
Wall Street probably knows more than that. I mean, I certainly think that the Wall Street, at the very least,
I always want to think they do, but then, yeah.
Wall Street certainly understands the value of Apple's marketing.
Yes.
And there is someone who has been making decisions about Apple's marketing. And that someone for the last umpteen years has been Phil Schiller.
That's true.
With a little help from Steve Jobs, or a lot of help from Steve Jobs before that. And but for whatever reason, Wall Street hasn't reacted negatively. And it could well be because he is still going to be around at the at the company in some capacity. I don't think that running events is as important as Apple's marketing. I mean, Phil Schiller has done a fantastic job of running events.
Yes.
To be sure. And the App Store has been improving since Phil Schiller took over those things. But the marketing role is probably the more important one. And it's interesting to me that Greg Joswiak is the one who's taking it over.
Why? Mm-hmm.
Because I have never really thought of him as the big marketing guy. Maybe that could well actually be me, though.
Okay. Well, like, what was his title before now?
Let's
give the play-by-play. What did he do before this?
Well, he was vice president of iPhone product marketing. So maybe that was just me not paying enough of attention to Mr. Joswiak. Joswiak, or Jaws as he is called, not to be confused with Woz, was often at events. And he also played a bit of a role at WWDCs over the years.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever that's worth.
So we know who's going to be taking over for Phil. Who has become an Apple Fellow before? Because this isn't the first time they've bestowed this title on somebody.
Yeah.
No, there used to be Apple Fellows all the time. Back in the 70s when Apple was kind of, excuse me, the 90s when Apple was sort of in trouble, and by sort of I mean massively in trouble, there were lots of fellows at Apple, and at that point fellows basically were, you know, allowed to work on whatever it is that they wanted to work on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was both sort of like a prestige position, but also, you know, there were Microsoft fellows too, by the way. Steve Capps was an Apple fellow for a while. He's a genius. And Guy Kawasaki was a fellow. I'm looking actually at Cult of Mac's rundown of different fellows. There's Don Norman,
Steve Wong, Sharon Sichu.
Who was that, Andrew?
I'm sorry, who?
So in my article, I didn't publish the full list, but previous fellows have included Steve Wozniak, Bill Akison, and like Brian said, Guy.
Yeah. Bill Akison. Okay.
Yeah. And and also I remember when Mr. Sidhu, what's that guy? I can never remember, pronounce his first name. His first name is Indian fellow. His first name is Gursharan Sidhu. Charlotte wrote up a link teaser to this Cult of Mac rundown of all of them. But it's been a while since we've had active Apple fellows, and it's certainly been a while since we've had new Apple fellows. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the position is being brought back or if it was basically done for Phil. My guess is it was probably done for Phil.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to be one of those things that's basically not a thing unless you are a person of some import. Like, it's not going to be something you can apply for, and we're going to have three of them every year, like, you know, an intern program or something that just sort of exists all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a hunch anyway.
Yeah, so basically, for the listeners who have no idea what we're talking about, a very basic rundown of the Apple Fellowship Program, it recognizes people at Apple for their technical or leadership contributions to personal computing. So they have a lot more freedom in what they can work on while still getting paid.
Yeah. So that's basically what it is that Phil's not going to do the day-to-day of marketing. Something in marketing. I'm completely blanking on his title now. Worldwide marketing. And he will get to do
He won't be involved in marketing at all. He might be consulted.
Yeah.
But he won't be running. I mean, there is a new senior vice president in charge of worldwide marketing. And that person, who is Greg Joswiak, will be the person making decisions. But I'm sure that someone will, you know, hey, Phil, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And Phil's only 60, so, you know, he's definitely, but in his own statement included information about, you know, like there are planned changes I want to make in my life. There's basically things that he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so now he's going to have more time to do those things.
That's fantastic.
But he's only 60. He's not a retirement age.
Yeah. I'm interested to see.
Unless you're like a, you know, multimillionaire. Get to retire, which, by the way, he is.
I was gonna say, yeah, and like Phil Schiller, unless you're a multimillionaire, want to retire. I'm gonna be interested to see what he works on, and I wonder if it's gonna be at Apple or outside of Apple that we hear about next. I'm sure he's doing personal stuff as well. So
yeah,
I don't know if he'll take up knitting, and you know, we can hang out. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. So in Apple's announcement, he said, there are a few personal projects he cares deeply about.
Okay. I wonder if he just has a honey-do list that goes back like 15 years and Mrs. Schiller just really needs him to, you know, take care of the landscaping or something. Because I always am, it's just one of those things that I always am entertained by, like, that everyone else has to do all the mundane stuff that I have to do. So, yeah. He's stepping away from Apple so he can mow the lawn, right? That's totally what's happening.
Yeah, sure.
we'll go with that. I'm interested to see what he ends up working on. He's an interesting dude. And, you know, like Brian said, he's been a fixture for a long time at a lot of Apple stuff. So, but because he's not day to day with marketing, but still running the Apple events, I'm curious if they're going to continue to evolve. I know part of the most recent Apple event was pandemic influenced more than anything else. But some of the stuff that came out of that, I think, was an interesting evolution. And I wonder how much of it's going to stick. So we'll have to see what he has planned for that. Hopefully we will find out later this year, and they will have an event, an iPhone event in the fall, and we'll get to find out. That would be great. So anyway, that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. Andrew, as always, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Brian Geller Chaffin, thanks for coming by and talking to us as well.
Hi.
Good to be here, Kelly. Thanks for having us. Good discussion.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.